Scripture reading, we turn to the Word of God in Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41, we'll read the first 20 verses. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am He. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smoothed with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering, and he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new, sharp, pressing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see, and know, and consider, and understand together, that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. That's why we read in God's holy inspired word. The text we consider is verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We were reassured, beloved people of God, this morning by the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Lord's Supper is exactly given to us for that reason, to strengthen our faith. Faith which is worked by the preaching of the Word is strengthened by the sacrament, so that we are reassured by the sacrament. We were strengthened and reassured, especially as the Word explained the sacrament to us and reminded us of the meaning of the sacrament again, and we were told of the gracious gift of God, the gift of life, everlasting life. Tremendous reassurance. But always we need reassuring, and we need reassurance with regard to everything in our life. The text tonight reassures us then yet more. It fills in more fully what the Lord's Supper means for our life here below. What does the reassurance of the Lord's Supper mean as it's applied to us in our life, in particular as it's applied to us in all the tribulations and hardships of this life? Broadly, God says the application of the Lord's Supper is that you have no need to fear, for I am with thee. That's the heart of the text that the Lord brings to us tonight. Fear not, I am with thee. That word of God was spoken originally by Isaiah to Judah with regard to their captivity. God, through Isaiah, spoke this word to Judah well before the captivity took place. Told them they would be taken captive in the future. That had, of course, real potential to fill them with fear as they thought about that imminent reality. God had spoken it. They would be brought into captivity. What would become of them, they might think. God's word to his remnant was, fear not, I am with thee. That word of God, that same word of God is spoken to you tonight, young women who made confession of your faith before Christ's church. Lord willing, there's many years of your life yet ahead of you. You look forward into your life and you may ask, what will that life be like? And it's a life lived in the midst of death, a life lived in the midst of this world. There will be tribulations and there will be hardships. That's the reality that we tell you as the truth of God's Word. There will be battle. There will be battle against sin. There will be enduring the hatred of this world and the suffering that is always part and parcel of the life for those who are in Christ. But God's word to you is, fear not, I am with you. And that's spoken, that same word of God, beloved, is spoken to all of us tonight, to me too, as we are always prone in the midst of this life and in tribulations and hardships to fear, to worry, to be anxious. God's word to you and to me is, fear not, I am with you. As those for whom Jesus has shed his blood and those for whom he has had his body broken, fear not, I am with you. That text and that word of God we consider tonight under the theme reassured of God's presence First of all, we consider that's a great comfort. Great comfort, first of all. Secondly, a promised strength. And thirdly, a constant confidence. We are, beloved, fearful creatures. We are easily dismayed. Not because of the weakness of our human, fallen, sinful nature, that because we are frail and weak creatures. After all, we're spoken in Scripture, the Lord looks at His people, and as He speaks of all the examples that He could choose to be an example for His people, He calls us sheep, weak, and fearful creatures we are. And so we need comfort. We need comfort. There's a picture of us in the text, a picture of us as fearful in the text. God's Word in saying to us, fear not, be not dismayed, is not saying to us, you never have feared, now don't get started fearing, but God comes to us in the midst of our situation, in the midst of our anxieties, our worries, and our fears, and God says, fear thou not, be not dismayed. And it's especially in that word dismayed that we find a picture. That word literally means to gaze about with anxiety. To look about with wide-eyed alarm. That's the word dismay. The picture might come to our mind of one walking in the woods alone at night. Knowing there's many dangers all around of every different sort and walking about along that way with eyes wide open with alarm, fear, anxiety. That's how it is with us by nature. Especially that's true with regard to us as we look to the future. It's true with us with regard to present circumstances often, but especially as we look into the future and as we wonder what will be coming to us in the future. We know the growth of the anti-Christian kingdom is well on its way. We see the world growing more and more wicked, more and more corrupt, and we know that that whole world is uniting together and eventually their attention will be upon God's church. And those which stand in the way of them producing and attaining to the glory of man in a great new society. We may be filled with fear as we think of that in the future. We may have fear and anxiety as we look to the future as we grow older, as we go nearer and nearer to death, as we feel the weaknesses of our body and of our abilities waning may be filled with fear. We know that in the future we will be attacked by the devil. We have felt that in our lives many times, perhaps even presently. We know that the devil will attack. He never is one who surrenders. He's never one who relents relentlessly and constantly. He attacks us. As we gaze upon Him, we may be filled with fear. We know we will struggle with sin, with our own sin, our own sinful nature and the weakness of our sinful nature. We're going to struggle with temptations. And then too, you think of God's wrath against sin. How much God is displeased with sin. We know that we may struggle then with doubts, wondering, are my sins truly forgiven? Are they taken away? We may be concerned with regard to the suffering, that's the lot for God's people. The suffering for Christ's sake, which is inevitably the part of God's people in this world. As they confess the truth of God and as they walk with the Lord, they will be set upon by those who hate Jesus Christ, and they will suffer. We will suffer. And then too, we may fear with regard to our own unique circumstances, our own unique difficulties, our own unique, specific, personal concerns, known to very few, or perhaps only to ourselves. Not to mention fear of the unknown. That can grip the hearts of God's people too. What if this? What if that? I don't even know what's going to happen, and I can begin to fear. When we look at any one of these things, we may tremble with fear. When we look at all of them, our eyes moving about from one to the other, and we consider all of these things, all of these reasons, we may be filled with fear and be dismayed. Gaze about with anxiety. Especially when we rightly consider the strength required. The strength that's required of us to face these oppositions, these difficulties, and to go through them. When we think of the measure of strength required, and then we rightly consider our own weakness and our lack of strength, we may be doubly filled with fear. And then not to mention our own tendency to rely on our own strength. And all of these troubles and all of these tribulations, our tendency is rather than turn to God as our strength, we turn to ourselves and we say, I will put my head down and I will get through these troubles and tribulations, and I will do so by my own strength. And we know, when we consider it rightly, that we will not succeed as we go forward in that way. And so we hear, by God's grace, His voice. I am with thee. I am thy God. Fear not. Be not dismayed. Be not dismayed and fear not, because I am with thee and because I am thy God. We can put those two ideas together, and really that's what the Lord is saying here. He's telling us, I am with thee as thy God. God speaks to us here a gracious, covenantal word of His gracious covenantal presence. If God was only present, if He was simply saying, I am nearby, I am omnipresent, there'd be no comfort in that. If God left out the part about being our God and simply said, I am present everywhere, I'm present there with you too, by you, near you, all around you, we would have no reason for comfort. In fact, if God were only present, not as our covenant God, but only present, we had every reason for terror, outright terror. Terror, as this word would strike in the heart of those who are not His own, sinners who walk apart from Him and are not His, when they hear, I am present, then they ought to be afraid. Then the word of God to them is, fear thou, be dismayed. Let that fear, if one is struck with that fear, let that fear then drive one to repentance, drive one to Jesus Christ for comfort and for assurance. But that word of God, God does not bring to us tonight, not as an organic body of Jesus Christ, redeemed in our Lord and Savior, God comes to us and says, I am thy God. As we said, that's a covenant expression. I am thy God. God often expresses His covenant in those terms. I am your God and you are my people. It's fundamentally what He's saying in our text. Shorten it up to say simply, I am with you. Implying, and you are with me. You are mine and I am yours. You find even in the context, God speaking covenantally to His people. Verse 8, God says, but thou, Israel, art my servant. That's the covenant relationship God's people stand in relation to Him, His servants. But not only that, Jacob, whom I have chosen, speaks to His people as we are His elect people, covenantally, part of His covenant, members of His covenant, as He has chosen us in eternity. And then the seed of Abraham, my friend. If you are the seed of Abraham, my friend, then you too are my friends, God means to say to us. He addresses us then, beloved, this evening as His chosen friend servants, His people. Enjoy His friendship and by the power of His strength, serve Him willingly and cheerfully. He is with us as our God in Christ. He says to us in these phrases, I am thy God, I am with thee. He says to us, remember Jesus Christ. Remember the Lord's Supper that you celebrated this morning. Remember how I gave to you a Savior and how His body was broken for you and His blood was shed for you. How I displayed my love to you and worked out my love unto you in my Son, Jesus Christ. Remember that on the basis of that suffering and death and on the basis of everything that He has done, you are mine. And I am yours. Therefore, I say to you, I am your God, and I am with you. He's our covenant Father, beloved. That's the meaning, too, of the text. As God comes to us and speaks His warm covenantal language, He says to us, I am your Father. You are my children, my chosen friend servants, because you're my sons and my daughters, adopted on the basis of the work of Jesus Christ, your Savior. I, as your God, am with you. That means yet two things. The phrase, I am with you, means yet two more things. It means, first of all, that I am, God saying, I am near you. I'm near you. I'm not far away. And this we must remember in all of our tribulations and all of our fears. Remember, God's not far away in heaven, looking on with apathy or looking on with concern. But God is near us. That, He says to us tonight, I am with you. I'm near you. That comes out in verse 13. More comes out in verse 13, but this first of all. The Lord says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. He says in our text, I will help thee. He says here in this text as well, I will help thee. Great encouragement to us. But notice now, I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. And we can think of the way or the picture that that demonstrates to us. One who takes hold of us and holds our right hand is certainly not far away from us, but is very near to us. And that's what God says to us too. I'm right there next to you. I'm at your side. I'm so close to you that I hold your right hand. I am with you. Then also, I am for thee. I am with thee means I am for thee. I am near to thee, but I am on your side. One might have an enemy who is near to us, and that might cause us even greater fear, but God says to us, I am not your enemy. I am not over against you. I do not stand against you. Again, look under the cross. Be reminded. Always remember Jesus Christ and His work and His cross and His shed blood and His broken body. I am on your side. God cannot, beloved. He cannot be against us. He cannot. All that God had against us, He laid upon Jesus Christ. All of that wrath against us, God put upon Jesus Christ, and He suffered it entirely. That's all gone. Satisfied. God says to us now, I am for you. Never, never against you, but always for you. On your side. Over against all that would set themselves at enmity against you. Over against the devil and all of his demons and all of the world as it causes you so much suffering for Christ's sake. I am on your side. Graciously. Not because you deserve it, but because it pleases me to be for you through Jesus Christ, your Savior. And so God says to us, when all of our fears cause alarm, and when we begin to speak, and when we begin to give voice to all of that alarm, and we begin to have our emotions and our hearts stirred up and at unrest, God says to us, shh, be quiet now. I am your Father. Father is here. I am with you. I am for you. I am your God. Look at me. That's the point of the text too. God does not say, God does not in the text begin to spell out all the different strengths and weaknesses of the enemy. God does not say, look at that which would oppose you. Look at all those things which would cause you concern and fear. But God says rather, look at me. I am with you. He directs our attention to Himself. I am with you. I am your God. Don't look at those circumstances of your life and cause you to fear. Look at me and see by faith. Believe and see by faith. I am with you. I am your God. And then we have calm courage. Then we have comfort. Great comfort. We have comfort, beloved, as great as our God is. As we hear the text and as He works the word of that text into our hearts. Comfort as great as God is, for it's comfort that rests upon Him, comfort that's found in Him, comfort that has everything to do with Him as our God in Jesus Christ. Now, comforted and calm, you're ready to go forward. The Lord says to us, go forward in this confidence. I am your strength. I'm with you. I'm your God. But I'm also your strength. I'm with you in my strength. That we need to be reminded of too. For there's many in the world that will comfort one another and hear the word of God. God is with you. But the God that they imagine, the God that they speak of, is a God who is weak, who is helpless, has tremendously good intentions, but is also tremendously unable to carry out those good intentions. God does not so reveal Himself in the Word, and certainly not in our text. God reveals Himself as an almighty, sovereign God. He repeats this three times in the text to indicate to us to have great strength and comfort in Him. God says in the text, I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Doesn't speak it only once. Put it one way. Say simply, I will help you. Or say simply, I will strengthen. I will uphold. But He says all three. He repeats them. Puts the yea in between each of them so that our attention is drawn to the fact that He's repeating for emphasis so as to give us great consolation. Great consolation not in our own strength, but in His almighty strength. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And I am with you in all of my power. Omnipotent, sovereign power. He speaks of that with the phrase, right hand of my righteousness. He speaks of His own right hand now. The verse we considered a few moments ago spoke of God holding us by our right hand. Now God speaks of His own right hand and He says it's the right hand of His righteousness. I will go with you with this right hand of my righteousness. That right hand indicates power, strength. God always speaks of His hand as a symbol of His strength, of His omnipotent and almighty strength. And the right hand, even the strongest expression of His strength. God's right hand is a righteous right hand. It means His right hand is just. His right hand is fair. His right hand is righteous also against those that would terrorize us. His right hand is righteous also over against the devil. Righteous then in the sense that He brings a righteous judgment upon them. Brings righteous destruction upon them. That's His justice. As He wields His right hand over against that which would cause us to fear in our life. But for us, that right hand means our preservation through Jesus Christ. For really, the right hand of God's righteousness is Jesus Christ, our Savior. God's really saying in Old Testament language here in the text, I am with you in Christ, your Savior. He is the right hand of the living God. He is the power of God unto salvation. And He is the power which is wielded righteously to save His own elect in eternity. And to destroy all those who stand over against His children. People of Judah might have said yes, but in captivity? And in a captivity that's brought upon us because of our sin? Yet still you speak of the right hand of God's righteousness. You speak of being helped and upheld and strengthened by God. And again, those people of God would have been directed by faith, would have seen Christ, would have said, yes, it is in Him that even in captivity, God is with us with the right hand of His righteousness. God is sovereignly controlling this and using this for our good, for our strengthening. That's the Word of God. That's the Word of God to us too. In this or that circumstance presently that He brings upon me, or in all these circumstances that seem to continue forever and never seem to end, the right hand of His righteousness. Yes, God says, remember my Son. Remember He is the right hand of my righteousness. And remember all this is turned for your profit, and all of this is for your advantage, and all of this is for your good. What about the future? What about these fears or those fears? God says, I am with you with the right hand of my righteousness. To avert all evil with that mighty right hand, or to turn it sovereignly and powerfully for your profit. Fear not. I am with you in my Son, Jesus Christ. I will help you. I will help you, God says. And this is our help, that God comes to us and speaks thus. That God comes to us and says to us and assures us, I am with you, not as a weak God, but as the Almighty Sovereign God in Jesus Christ. I am with you. I will help you. I promise that. And I will uphold you. That's how I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you by holding you up when otherwise you would fall. And otherwise you would fall apart. I will uphold you with my mighty right hand. I will hold you up. I am your strength. And I will strengthen you. That's too how I will help you. I'll hold you up. And I will strengthen you so that you continue to go forward. God doesn't say in the text, never mind you having any strength. I am the strong and almighty God. And you can be as weak as you need to be. I will just take care of it apart from you, separate from you. So that He directs us only to think of His providential control over all things. We think of that. He means that. But He means also, I will work in you. Says that exactly with the words, I will strengthen you. I will be your strength. I will fill you with my own strength so that you are strong over against all the fears that would cause you to be weak, over against all the anxieties and the worries of life. I am your strength. I will cause you to be strengthened. And note this, beloved, the strength that He promises is not some strength that He finds somewhere or that He gathers from somewhere, but it's His own strength. That's God's promise. I promise to take my own strength, which the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased for you, and I will impart that unto you and fill you with that strength so that you are strong, in yourself weak, but in me, you confess, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How is it that God works in this way? How is it that God keeps this promise to us? To strengthen us with spiritual strength, to uphold us so that we remain standing as we walk through the dark, dark woods of this life, so that we don't run mad terror off to our destruction? How is it that God strengthens us? Of course, beloved, it's by His Word. It's by His Word. We have a spiritual need. This strength that God talks about, this help that He talks about, this upholding is a spiritual need. And God meets our spiritual need with His spiritual means, the spiritual means of His Word. And then we may further ask, but what Word? We immediately recognize how foolish our question is. The word of our text. That's how God strengthens us. It's as simple as that. That's the way God works in His people. He comes to us and He says to us, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Notice with me, the text brings out two things. It brings out God's promise, first of all. That's how God strengthens us, by His promise. He comes to us and He says, "I'm with you, I'm your God, and I will be with you in the future. I will strengthen you, uphold you, help you as you go forward. That's my promise." And the child of God hears that by faith and is strengthened in his heart as he dwells upon the right hand of God's righteousness, Jesus Christ. And he says, "Even as God says it, I am strengthened. Even as God promises me, He strengthens me." And then also, secondly, not to be overlooked, is also what else God says in the verse. "Fear thou not, be not dismayed." God always comes to us with commands as well as promises. He never comes to us simply with promises, but He comes to us with commands. He means to say in that command, "Then believe this promise that I bring to you." And manifest and evidence that belief in that promise that I bring to you. Don't be afraid. There's the manifestation. You believe. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. And the child of God says the same thing he said earlier. The child of God says, "Even as God speaks it to me, find I'm strengthened." Command doesn't overwhelm me. Command doesn't drive me away. Command draws me unto my Lord and Savior and unto my God and fills me with His own sovereign power. Command me, Father. Promise me. And I am and I will be upheld and helped and strengthened. Beautiful, comforting way in which God works with us as His people, isn't it? And that beautiful word that God brings to us, which sovereignly and efficaciously and graciously strengthens us and helps us and upholds us, is, beloved, our constant confidence. The confidence for the present, and it's a confidence for the future as we go forward. But it's a confidence for the present and for the future as we look back. We notice that too. Our confidence in the future and in the present is based upon what God tells us has already taken place and what God has already done for us. Centrally, God points us as New Testament Christians. God points us back to the cross of Jesus Christ and to His victorious resurrection. And God says, based on that now, you can have confidence in the present and in the future that I'm with you, I'm your God, I will uphold you, help you, and strengthen you. God also speaks to us personally with regard to the past. He says it in the text, "But thou, Israel," or the context, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." That gives us confidence for the present and for the future, knowing that God says to us now, I have chosen you. In eternity I've chosen you. And I've redeemed you unto myself, and I've called you my servant and my friend. I have. Therefore I do now, and I will in the future as well. We need yet look at verse 14 to fill out our confidence. Verse 14 says, Fear not, thou worm, Jacob, and ye men of Israel. God doesn't flatter us. God knows who we are. God knows what we are. He's known it all the way from the beginning. God knows that in ourselves we're nothing but a worm. And one might object and say, but He also calls us men. And the response ought to be, is that much better? We're fallen, weak, and sinful creatures. But let not that stand in your way. Let not that cause you to fear. God says exactly, fear not, thou worm, Jacob. And by that, God means to say, I know exactly who you are. I know all of your weaknesses. I know all of your sins. I know all of your undeservedness. And yet, I have chosen you. In grace, in Christ, you are my friend. You are my servant. And that's the way it's always been. Verse 9 says, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. By that, beloved, hear this. I brought you this far. Chosen you in eternity. Called you my servant, my friend. Though in yourself you're only a worm, I've called you my own child, my own son, my own daughter. I've carried you thus far. I've never cast you away. I will not now. And I will not ever. You are mine. I am with you. I am your God. And that's our comfort. Our tremendous comfort for the present. For the very moment that we're in today. And for tomorrow. God says, I am with thee. I am thy God right now. And as God is the unchanging God, that's the way it always will be. But the Lord makes that explicit too in the text, doesn't he? He points to the future. And he says, look at the future. But look at the future as looking at me first. And look at the future as you look through me unto the future and recognize, I will help you. I will uphold you. I will strengthen you with the right hand of my righteousness. That's our confidence. Then as we go forward and as we live our life in this world as God's people, so we can very really liken our life to the example we used earlier, walking through the dark woods at night. Only let's change that example just a little bit, or really significantly. It's not walking through the dark woods at night alone. But it's walking through that dark woods with God. With our Almighty God, the God of light, the God of strength, our God in Jesus Christ. And then we say, God has told me not to fear. I will not fear. Thou art with me, my God and my Almighty Shepherd. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word, what a comfort it is to us, how reassuring it is to us to hear once again that Thou art with us. We know that. We believe that. But how weak we are, and how often we need be reminded. And so Thou hast told us too, that we ought periodically have the enjoyment of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and that we ought to do that in remembrance of Thee and of Thy Son. And so now tonight too, we have remembered Thy Son, and we apply the truth that is ours through the work of Thy Son unto ourselves. We hear Thy voice, Thy mighty voice. And Father, we are helped, we are strengthened, and we praise Thee for it. We are not worthy, but that's the point. That's Thy grace shown to us, worms, miserable, sinful men and women, but grace which strengthens us, which exalts us, and which tremendously comforts us. To Thee, Father, and to Thy Son, be all the glory, now and forevermore. Amen.